The U.S. economy over a barrel, or 20 million barrels of oil per day.
We need the oil that comes from offshore to keep this economy moving. If we could do without this oil, we would, but we simply can't, not today, not in the near future, maybe sometime in the distant future.
The gusher in the Gulf is a drop in the bucket of U.S. daily oil consumption. They may be able to stop the leak, but there's no way to stop the global gusher that fuels the U.S. economy. Deals with the devil, sacrificial sea turtles, getting priorities straight. Which is the trump card, oil or the environment? Freedom and Wheat. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday, May 12th, a discussion of the changing debate over carbon and climate in light of the Gulf disaster that's unfolding.
And perhaps the cost of oil rising in people's minds, if nowhere else. Let's get a look at the morning's news. It's becoming as hard to find someone to take the blame for what went wrong in that oil rig in the Gulf as it is to cap the leak. Yesterday, senators grilled executives from the three companies responsible, BP, Transocean, and Halliburton, who took turns pointing fingers at each other during the Senate hearing. Senators like Wyoming's John Barrasso had no patience for it.
Reading the written testimony, I hear one message, and the message is, don't blame me. Well, shifting this blame does not get us very far.
And Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska didn't like the finger pointing either.
We are all in this together because this incident is affecting, will have impact on the development of our energy policy for this country.
Senators called the leak a cascade of failures.
Well, all those senators going after the oil folks there at those hearings were joined now by Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, who was there at the hearings. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, John.
You know, we actually asked you this question when we first heard that there was a serious Gulf gusher there, but I'm wondering, looking at this from a perspective of a little bit of time, has the unfolding Gulf story changed the fortunes of the upcoming climate bill in the House and Senate?
Well, we're going to start to find out a lot more about that today because actually the Kerry Lieberman on-again, off-again, on-again climate bill is supposed to come out later today. But the answer is there's no way it won't affect it. There is going to be a gigantic debate now, if it wasn't going to be gigantic before, over offshore drilling. Several Democrats who were being counted on for their votes on this climate bill have said, we're going to filibuster it if there's an expansion of offshore drilling, given what's happened off the coast of Louisiana. But I will tell you, expanded offshore drilling, John, is in this bill.
Well,
it's in there.
Let's
They're going to fight
some,
over it.
Let's save some for the gigantic debate coming up. We'll be with Todd in just a moment.
Britain has its first coalition government in 7 decades and its youngest prime minister in 200 years. Here's Britain's new leader, 43-year-old David Cameron.
I aim to form a proper and full coalition between the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats.
Sarah Lyle, reporter for our partner The New York Times in London, told us earlier that the coalition partners are pretty far apart on many key issues.
I guess they'll get a honeymoon period. After that, it's really an open question whether they will be able to work together.
The decision to share power forced Gordon Brown to step down as prime minister, ending the Labour Party's 13-year rule. Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan begins meeting with senators today. She starts at the top. Morning interviews with Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell.
Some quick stories. Libyan plane has crashed in Tripoli this morning, killing 103 people, only one survivor. Arizona's governor has signed a law that bans ethnic studies now in some Tucson high schools. Officials say it teaches Latino students that they are oppressed by white people. And the big four of the big banks went on a perfect run last quarter. That means Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman, and J.P. Morgan Chase all finished the period without losing any money on a single trading day. Well, they're good traders. How are you? Asian and European markets are mixed. Futures are up this morning on Wall Street. Gold hit an all-time high. The Dow gets underway at 10,748. 1,155 is where the S&P opens, and the NASDAQ starts at 2,375. DIY bailout coming up. How do you invest in the stock market? The Supreme Court nomination of Elena Kagan in 20 minutes. And would you drink raw milk products? There's a debate over pasteurized or not pasteurized farm foods in the United States. Where do you fall? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.